We'll bring you the August 24th rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week of August 24th, 2007, this is the Rain Report, the weekly production of Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network. From the drenched heart of the Midwest, I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. This week, we conclude our excerpt from an entertaining 2007 Dayton Hamvention talk by the irrepressible Gordon West, WB6NOA, on the basics of tropospheric ducting, a handy but unpredictable tool for the VHF-UHF radio enthusiast.
A Hawaiian beacon is on solar power and a lot of backup power, and when they have that very final tone, it drips. So let's take a listen and see if this is really the Hawaiian beacon that we're hearing from Southern California. Hear that little whoop, but that's the real thing. So what does a good ham do? Good hams will get on the phone. I don't know why we don't do this on the air. We'll get on the phone and we call up our buddies. People we don't like, we don't tell them anything. Or we call and go, now there's no beacon today, go back to bed. But anyway, we tell our friends and we all begin monitoring. And then we make a phone call to a guy in Hawaii whose name is Paul. Paul Lieb, King Henry VI Hotel Mike Echo. Paul's the only guy crazy enough, other than maybe Dr. Quack here, to put a beacon on the top of an active volcano. So Paul will get a few phone calls and he says, well, this may warrant a trip up to the hill. Now, Paul lives in Hilo. And the beacon's up at about the 8,500 foot of the volcano. And this is not like a freeway or an expressway that goes up there. This is like a lava road. In fact, one that hot volcano, whatever stuff, came down and destroyed the road a couple of years ago. So he takes about 5 hours to drive to the top of the volcano where the beacons are. He switches out the beacon equipment. And others are driving up in Hawaii. And we're tuning them in the whole time, hearing the beacon sending the code. And then we get the first word. Oh, yeah, I can hear every word he's saying. He's saying, Gordon, you have the very best signal in the whole country. So now it gets a little bit better. You heard that one loud and clear, didn't you? But then it gets even better yet.
And we're about half a mile below the other station, K6HME. We're amongst the lava fields here, operating inside a Datsun pickup truck, using a portable America 6 truck here from the truck.
So here's a fellow in a pickup truck that drives to about the 8,500-foot level. Here's what's occurring. With a high-pressure system, as the air sinks, it begins to stratify. When you stratify air, it becomes much more dense, and that changes the refractivity of air. When the refractive index is great enough, the VHF signal will enter the tropospheric duct, which might only be 200 or 300 feet in thickness, and will just go in and in and in and in and travel along this tropospheric duct until it gets all the way to Hawaii. Usually, the Hawaiian end is about 8,000 feet, and usually in Southern California, this is a neat thing, the tropospheric duct is about sea level. So we don't have to like drive all the way up to the mountains. We just go down to the ocean. And as we're driving down to the ocean, we all have little 2-meter halo type antennas and we find a hot spot and it might be 300 feet, might be 500 feet. And you can almost feel it. Oh boy, smoggy, eyes are burning, brown out there. How many have seen the tropospheric duct? The tropospheric duct looks like when you have one of those hot, windless days and you have that big band of brown air. How many have flown into Los Angeles? You can see it real well. You're flying into Los Angeles, come over Palm Springs, nice clear air, and then there's like this brown haze. And once you're inside this haze, you're looking out the porthole of your aircraft, and here's this seagull going, that's because he's in a tropospheric duct. Air temperature, instead of gets less, changes by 10 degrees, very sharp. Air pressure and moisture change also. Moisture usually, for every 1,000 feet, we lose about a half a gram of moisture. Air pressure, for every kilometer up, we lose 100 millibars. But everything makes a sharp bend up. And they can actually plot this. And within the tropospheric duct, it acts much like a waveguide. A waveguide for 2 meters, a waveguide for 432. So the tropospheric duct is now formed up between Southern California and Hawaii, probably between the Great Lakes and, where's the other path on the Great Lakes, Duck? Down to Texas area? And there's one that goes Texas to Florida, and there's one that goes from Nova Scotia, and these are known paths. I think there's a path that goes between East Coast to Europe. No one's worked it yet, but I really think so. But anyway, the path is open on 2 meters, and unlike sporadic E that'll come and go and come and go, Tropa will build and build, and now let's listen to Paul. King Henry VI, Hotel Mike Echo.
You are listening to a talk about tropospheric basics by Gordon West, WB6NOA. We'll conclude our excerpt from his 2007 Dayton Hamvention presentation in a moment. This is RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network.
So now the band is really open. CW, indeed, single sideband. And then everybody said, well, you couldn't do FM because FM won't work. So I said, well, Paul, let's do a test between single sideband and FM and see how much worse FM does than single sideband over 2,500 miles via the tropospheric duct. Everybody said, well, the signal will, like, distort, it'll scatter. Everybody said, it won't work. Well, as good hams, we say, well, let's try it. So here we are, our big test that rewrote the history books on whether sideband or FM is the best for tropospheric ducting.
King Henry VI, Hotel Mike Echo on the road in Hawaii. Single sideband, and I am going to go to FM right now.
We both switch.
Now I am on FM. This is King Henry VI, Hotel Mike Echo on the island of Hawaii. Saying hello to everybody there in California.
Now, listen to this. He's talking about being on the island, and he's going to make a statement that tells you what tropospheric ducting is like when you're above the clouds. Listen to what his statement is about the clouds.
This is King Henry VI Hotel Mike Echo, located on the Peak Island of Hawaii, which is the southernmost island of the...
This is ham. I said, where are you located? And I get a four-hour geography lesson. But we're still on the air, and listen to the mode and the frequency we're talking on, 2,500 miles.
We're located on the side of Mauna Loa, which is a volcano at 8,200-foot elevation. 8,200-foot, and we're about 25 miles west of the easternmost shore of the island, about in the center of the island. We're on 432.0740.
On FM!
432.074. Real nice signal out here. You got enough signal strength, so it's 100% quieting at the present time. 2,500 miles.
Well, that's not bad for a little FM contact. Here's some of the things we learned. Number one, it always occurs in July, sometimes June, sometimes August, but it always occurs in July. Weather conditions, what must we have present over you and the other station to make that tropo waveguide form? What kind of weather system, high or low? High. It has to be a pronounced high where the air temperature is at least 10 to 15 degrees warmer than the surface temperature down below and the surface temperature above. We have found with undisputable facts that what triggers the tropospheric duct many times is a hurricane feeding moist air that comes in below the tropoduct. So if it's one of those days down at the beach or down on the flatlands that it's real muggy, especially if there is a hurricane to your south, that's usually a good indication that there may be a tropospheric duct forming up. Where do we listen to monitor for the duct? Well, a simple way is with your FM 2-meter radio. Tune into what radio service is always on the air 24 hours a day? The National Weather Service on Weather Channels 1 or 2. But don't tune in your local one. You can get them on a shoestring. Tune in that distant one that's 150 miles away. The tropospheric duct will first form on the 2-meter band and move up. I'm telling you, it starts usually with a 2-meter band, and then as it begins to get squished more and more by that subsidence, we get a greater pressure gradient, we get a greater gradient of warm air, and now we can go higher in frequency. All right, so we worked Hawaii this July on 6 meters, 2 meters, 432. Here's the next band up, and of course there's 900 as well, but listen to this.
You're hearing your 1296 beacon in Los Angeles right now. I just heard that.
1296. So, 1,296 on both FM as well as single sideband. And then we get up into an area where there's not a lot of equipment, and that is the 3456. And here is that signal at 3,456 megahertz.
Kind of a half-assed contact.
They were doing CW, and he's saying a half-fast contact, kids.
anyway, new world record on 2,471 miles, it looks like, from the location I'm at. 2,471 miles.
That is Chip Angle, N6CA, who is the holder of multiple world records with Paul Lieb, King Henry VI Hotel, Mike Echo.
Paul, shall we go ahead and switch to 5760?
So they went to 5760.
For technical reasons beyond our control, we cannot bring you the balance of Gordo's talk. We can tell you, however, that the contact between N6CL and KH6HME on 5.760 GHz was likewise successful. Gordon West, WB6NOA's Tropo Talk, was delivered at the 2007 Dayton Hamvention in what is, at this moment, a very soggy Dayton, Ohio. Be advised, RAIN's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, has a new email address. Please make note that it is Hap, H-A-P, at therainreport.com. Notice the "the" has been added to his old address. That's Hap, H-A-P, at therainreport.com. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2007, Rain, all rights reserved. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ, sporting a pair of hip boots, wishing you a very 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network. www.therainreport.com.